Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we are keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. Joining me today in the Emerald Coast, that's right, John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Man, I see you're getting a tan already. Isn't it nice down here?
Man, it is beautiful.
You know, Steve already went out to the island, the beach, island, I guess, and went and shot stuff for VFN TV and
did
all that.
Did he really?
Oh, he done something.
Oh, my goodness. He beat me to it shooting out there. I got to get out there and shoot.
Give a shout out to Steve this morning. Looking forward to seeing you. Also, the producer of VFN Radio program, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Man, if you missed the first hour, you've got to catch the first hour. Nigeria, the biggest persecution of Christians happening on the face of the earth, is happening in the largest country in Africa, the continent of Africa. And Christians are being persecuted, and even Muslims that empathize with Christians and try to help them out, try to be, quote, good Muslims, then they're taking them out as well. I think it's over 120 have been killed with what's taking place there. We need to continue to pray for the church, the persecuted church in Nigeria, but also to remember that, hey, we need to wake up. If you have not yet heard this generation or watched it on VFN TV at VFNTV.com, you've got to do that to understand that's us if we don't wake up. We're going to be talking about this extra hour.
Yes, Billy Graham. Billy Graham. He's so inspiring. I just love Billy Graham.
Yeah, he is.
He is getting prepared for his last crusade.
Oh, my God.
At 94, you got to hear about this.
Oh, my God. Wow. That's exciting. Well, also, they were just talking about today on the news that their organization was focused by all that stuff.
Really?
Back in September. And my goodness, but justice is truly raining down upon America. Lord, we thank you for responding because you are good. We continue to cry out for justice, and we pray, Lord, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening to this nation. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. Light of the world is what he commanded us to do. Shout it from the rooftops. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
And Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Man, Billy Graham.
Billy Graham.
My goodness. 94. Oh, my goodness.
The Christian Post is reporting that they just did a survey. Listen, a survey on Billy Graham's influence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he's getting prepared to do this outreach, which is basically going to happen in November.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a survey that just went out in April. It just went out. And 73% of, I'm quoting here, 73% of the National Association of Evangelical Leaders that have attended a Billy Graham crusade, and 44% that have met the evangelist in person, basically found out that, you know, everyone's so supportive of him, you know, supportive of his life, of his ministry, of what he was been able to do just for the Lord and for the gospel. And it's so encouraging to think that one life on fire for Jesus Christ can have such an amazing impact.
Wow.
Billy Graham has preached in nearly 215 million people.
Mm.
I mean, the population of the United States is what, about
300 and something. Yeah.
I mean, he's preached to 215 million people around the world. He has been in more than 185 countries and territories, and not counting those that he's reached through television and other forms of broadcasting. Okay, he has written over 31 books and has counseled I don't know how many presidents. I mean, I don't know how. It's amazing. And the Gallup poll has named, they have this annual list, and he has been listed 56 times on the 10 most admired men in the world.
Mm.
56 times.
Wow.
I mean, you're looking at one just simple, humble man. If you've ever heard, you know, the Reverend Billy Graham, you know, if you've ever heard him speak, I mean, it's just, he just loves God, wants to see everyone come to the Lord. And it lived a life of integrity, just lived a life open before God. And it's just beautiful to see. you know, man, one life can make a difference. I want to encourage you. You're thinking, you know, well, who's noticing? What? God's noticing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God's looking and looking and looking and has looked for someone to stand in the gap. But let me tell you, Billy Graham is 94 years old.
Yeah.
He has run the race.
Yeah.
He has run it hard. He has done, he has served his generation well. The question is, will you? Will you step up? Will you be the one to say, you know what, I'm grateful for what Reverend Billy Graham's done, but you know what's my turn? You know, let Billy be with Jesus. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
Let him enjoy the fruit of his labor. And his last outreach, you're gonna love this. His last outreach, it's scheduled to come in November. It involves Christians across the United States. Listen to this, inviting friends and family into their homes. Into their homes to share the gospel with them through videos featuring Graham testimonies and music.
From stadiums to homes.
To homes.
Interesting.
From stadiums to homes. You know, that as Christians, that's good if we've been obeying Jesus, because you can bring people into a Christian home and they're going to find God.
That's right.
But if you bring people into a religious home, like when Jesus said, as Chris was talking about yesterday, that the Lord just was revealing to him in his abiding time, was that you go all the way across the world to win a convert, and you bring them back to you. You put burdens on them they can't even bear, and you don't lift a finger to help them, and you make them twice as much a son as hell as you are. The question is this. If you bring a non-believer in your home, are they going to become more like Jesus? Or are they going to become more like the Pharisees? A form of godliness.
All right.
Think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, the scariest thing that when God began to speak to me about what Billy Graham's talking about right now was, don't you understand some of the darkest places around are in the homes of those who call themselves to be Christians, because they're going to a place.
Right.
For 45 minutes, some an hour, maybe a week, to do their penance and their religious experience, but then they leave there. They go to where their temple is and where their idols are and where their darkness is. That and they live a life that contradicts what they possibly experienced in that 45 minutes. And children are raised up in this contradiction, and so you see a pagan generation happening, and most youth are leaving the church family by the age of 18, I guess.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
And the thing is what were they raised up in?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you go to a place, which is cool, whatever place that is, on a Sundays, for example, and you raise your hands and praise God, and your kids are with you, and maybe you've invited a non-believer to go there to find God. But then you invite the non-believer over to your house and your kids are around you, and you watch a movie that curses the very God that you actually raised your hands to and praised for that one microcosm of that entire week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, cool. You can actually say you love God, but you don't have to live like you know God. I mean, America's in the condition it is right now. I got to be frank with you. It's because I don't want to be Greg, I'm just going to be frank.
Okay, thank you.
is that because of who we are in our hearts and who we are in our homes and who we are in our marriages, and that having a form of godliness, and we're not the same people 24/7. It's like, where did that come from? That was what happened to the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they taught the right thing, but they didn't live the right thing.
Yeah.
Even Jesus said, hey, do what they tell you, but don't do what they do. What he was saying in the context of that is, they're saying what's right, they're just not doing what's right.
They're just not doing it. Mm-hmm.
Don't throw out what they're saying, just don't do what they're doing. And so I'm excited about that, but also that was the big thing. I'm thinking, man, how could anybody find God in an American Christian's home? I was just looking at one of our, you know, friends on our Facebook. If you haven't liked us yet on our Facebook, go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or just go to VFNTV.com and click on it. But from India, and they're talking, you know, you have a Hindu here talking about America and that they feels like the Christian church is duped, and
wow,
because they're looking at our fruit. And it's like, and he says, you know, they don't understand karma. They haven't got the revelation of karma yet. Well, they may call it karma. This is what God's called. Jesus says, the word of God says, you just reap what you sow.
Exactly. That's right.
And, but even in India, they're looking at America and they're going like, I don't think they're going to find Jesus and, in, you know, find God in that American Christian's home type thing. And so, so I think what we could do is get ready for what God, that's what God's going to be doing, by the way.
Yeah.
That's what he's going to be doing. It's going to be families and family. And it may be the only way the church can thrive and grow. And, find Jesus.
Find Jesus.
Put down your flowing robe. Donate your Rolex to the local They Need Your Help organization. And just say, you know, Jesus, I want to make you the Lord of my life. I really want to be able to find God in my home. I really want, I'm jealous of Obed-Edom's house, because
that's right.
That's where you're manifesting your glory. But I want you to be in my home too, my neighborhood too. I want my neighborhood to be just as safe and just as blessed. And I want the glory of God in my home. That's and if you haven't yet heard on VFN TV, you can go to VFNTV.com, you know, desperate for the glory of God. And you got to become desperate, because you won't make major decisions and major sacrifices for something that you're not desperate for. But if you become desperate, and this is what you're called, by the way, just a little clue here, you're called to be in his presence. That's why you know, you'll never find, he's designed things in a way you can do everything on the face of this earth 10 times over and get as much stuff and things and whatever, in your way and whatever, but you're not going to ever be satisfied. The only thing that's going to satisfy you is him. And he will let you be a prodigal and go and get to the end of yourself. And when you decide to, when you come to your senses and you realize you've sinned against God and against men, then you can make things right and he'll receive you. He'll kill the fatted calf for you. And so it's just, you know what? Just make Jesus the Lord of your life. You know, decide this moment, you know, that, you know, I want to truly meet Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. We shared a couple of our stories about how we met the Lord. And John was really bad.
Yes, I was.
It was really bad. And the thing is that...
But not like Chris.
True. True. All right. If he haven't seen the Bible, he smoked. His first smoke offering was not what you think. And,
Love you, man.
But seriously, that even outside of grace, God's grace now, that I'm still bad.
Yeah, exactly.
But in God... I'm not, and you can be that way too. If you missed this, I don't know if you saw this on your radio or not, but Pat was shaking his head, his eyes rolling back. That's exactly right. I am bad.
That's right.
Hopefully he was thinking about, if someone on me, I mean, he's like, oh. And so, but understanding this, and then you could say, wow, then I'm going to lead my family to God. And if you do that, it helps them understand was that you were wrong in all that religious junk, the Pharisaical junk. You were wrong in saying one thing, professing one thing, and doing another. You were wrong when you went to a gathering place once a week and, you know, flattered God with your lips, but when you left there, you lived for the devil when you walked out the door. And to do that in front of your kids, and you can say that. You can say, I was wrong. All that's wrong. I'm not going to integrate any of that into my walk with God. I'm going to leave it all at the cross. And then they get led to God.
Yeah.
And then... you can work with Jesus Christ and those like Billy Graham and say, you know, I want my home to be a place that people find God. You're going to need to go through your home. And if you listen to Desperate for God's Glory on VFN TV at VFNTV.com, that you will see, it literally goes through a process of helping you go, okay, that means I got to get the idols out of my home. That means I got to get the sin out of my life. I got to have a home that's not offensive to the Spirit of God and have a heart that's not offensive to the Spirit of God. And you were designed for his presence, and there's nothing like him.
That's right.
And in his presence is fullness of joy. And so think about joy, not just happiness, joy, the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so understanding this, that this is really cool what Billy Graham's doing. I mean, we totally
are. Amazing?
It's like we're in tune with that.
That's right.
But what I think about our journey that we've been on, and what needs to be done to prepare for the harvest that's about to come.
That's right.
And I don't think it's going to fit in any building anywhere.
No.
But since everybody already has a place that they're living, why not? Let's just do it in the context of where they're living and let them invite God into their homes to live with them, their hearts and their homes and their families and their businesses.
Right.
And we will, I don't know, imitate the Church of Acts. You know, and
that?
When Saul went to go, remember when Saul went to go persecute the church?
That's right.
Where did he go? He had to go to the houses.
He had to go to the houses.
He had to find them. Mm. Today, you can just look for the billboard and you could find, it's like points here, you know, with the marketing campaign. So don't put a billboard over your house.
No. Or don't put a steeple on top of it either. That's not necessary.
No.
So just be fruitful.
That's right.
So how did they get a hold of Billy Graham to be a part of this? What do they do?
Well, they can go on to the Torch. Yes. And on the Torch, we're going to have all that information available to you where you can click. And I want to encourage you, be supportive, get involved, and be a part of the harvest. Be a part of the harvest. Let me tell you, we're living in some exciting, exciting days. And if you haven't been listening to VFN Radio and you're just tuning in, you know, we have the third hour. The third hour of the Great Awakening that's happening in South Africa.
Awesome.
Tonga.
Yeah, right.
Tonga.
Who would ever thought this little microcosm was like, okay, we got it.
They're rocking the world. God's glory is coming down. You know, I'm
show me the glory.
Where's the glory? That's right. And it's happening. And people are getting saved and people are getting healed. And we believe in that it's the spark. It's really going to spread around the world and come to the West. I mean, we need a great awakening.
Remember the prophecy from Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries, some time back was because of the oppression of the African American in America, that God was going to use the African American to bring revival to America.
Wow.
Yeah.
And of course, America rejected and fought against what's presently happening in South Africa now.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And God just rebooted and got things in order and put a father over it. And now South Africa, and we're helping in that third hour, we're helping fulfill that word. I meant that and many is, I think the largest population of Indians in the world outside of India is in South Africa.
Man, God is reaching Indians.
Wow.
He is reaching Indians all over the place. I mean, they love God, and once they meet Jesus Christ, it's all over. I mean, God has listen, when you have 1 billion Indians in the world, God has an amazing plan for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's using them in a powerful, powerful way, and it's just so encouraging. I mean, it's so encouraging. I think there's some over 30 days now. That's every single night. That people are being drawn by the Spirit of God. You can't manufacture that. You can't get someone to show up, you know, every single... Listen, God is moving.
Mm-hmm.
God is moving, and you want to be wherever God is moving, right? You want to be...
And he's moving all over the world.
He is.
And, you know, like what's happening in Lakeland at the time, and it's happening now, and I think a more mature, you know, we all grow. And what the third hour is about, because it's always just an hour.
Right.
And it's just a segment of what you can see the fullness of in God.tv. But we want to make sure it's available to you. And you think, well, you know, I've already heard one. Why do I need to hear another one? Because you need to change your DNA.
Mm.
You just need to let it wash over you. You need to hear the first hour, the extra hour, and the third hour. And allow that just allow it to wash over you. Begin to change your dialect. Begin to line up with believing God and proclaiming God's word over a situation, and listen to how God is healing and delivering and he's saving, and Muslims are being saved, Hindus are being saved, people who don't know God, have any religion at all are being saved, and it's a very powerful thing. So it'll break this American mindset of the gospel.
Yeah.
And understand that our God, there is a one gospel that fits everywhere, and it's the true gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing it preached, but you're also seeing it happen around the world as people are listening to the third hour, watching God TV. And we're believing that and hoping for it to stir the hearts of America, the American church, where we believe God for a third great awakening. Because it's going to take a great awakening. It can't be just a little ruffling of our feathers and thinking things are changed. Our paradigm is going to have to shift for this nation to be saved and for things to continue on.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
Are religious topics off limits for a writing assignment in college? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I attend a community college here in Monterey, and we were told to write a free topic essay that could be about anything that we wanted, and the point of the essay was to check our Spanish vocabulary and grammar, and I wrote a presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I got it returned to me with no grade, saying that it was an inappropriate subject and that the teacher did not want me preaching.
Well, Chris, let me get you in touch with our lawyers here at the American Center for Law and Justice, because when you're given a free topic, that means the student picks the topic. Our religious topics are not off limits, or a gospel presentation is not off limits. It's supposed to be checking your utilization of a foreign language, and that's fine. But when the teacher gives an open-ended assignment like that, they can't say, well, we'll accept everything except discussion about religious faith or practices. So let me get you in touch with our lawyers at the ACLJ, and we'll get you some help. There is not a religious exemption to the First Amendment to the United States Constitution.
Visit us at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Taking VFN Radio and VFN TV anywhere you want to go. Wi-Fi or no-fi? Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today. I want to thank you for everybody that's joining in on our Facebook. You know, you can get to it by going to VFNTV.com, or you can go to Facebook.com/VFNTV. Easier to go to VFN TV and click on that. But think about it. It is so cool. Every day, no matter where you are, inside the community with over a billion people now, 1/6 of the world's population is in this particular community. Everybody's saying, you got a Facebook. We got a Facebook. Mm-hmm. We got a Facebook, and it's over, I don't know, it's over 5,000. It's just clicking up, and just you're joining us, and we're so excited about that because every day we're in communication. All the highlights that are on your VFN TV app, that's at VFNTV.com, is also on your Facebook, so it follows us everywhere we go. We got a virtual audience, a virtual stadium, if you would, that's being filled all around the world, and now we're in the Facebook community. Thank you, and if you have not yet, you know, go to our Facebook and like us. Go to Facebook.com/VFNTV and click on like, and what does that mean? When you do that, every post that goes out on our Facebook shows up on your Facebook every single day, so you can say, hey, that segment was about me. I want to be encouraged today. Maybe every day you listen to the Wisdom Moment. Maybe there's God's news behind the news and something's coming up that says, you know, I needed to know what God's perspective, the word is on that particular thing. Listen, this is the conversation that we're having together in the virtual audience of our Facebook. Go to VFNTV.com and click on our Facebook, or at VFNFacebook.com/VFNTV. Now I want to talk to you just for a quick moment here. You may be at the end of your religious road. You may have done everything religious that you could think of. I mean, you may have sung in choirs. You may have had perfect, quote, church attendance, unquote. You may have got real close to those who are in ministry. You may have done all these things, but yet you're empty. You've found yourself, you know, seeking and running after what you perceive to be right, but you're running after things, a man, and not God. Listen, that's a seek that God's put inside of you. That's a seek that God's put inside of you. He's put that inside of you. And what it is, you were seeking after him in the wrong places. Listen, he is after you. And the fact that you've done that means you're after him. But you just got to get on the right road. You just got to get off the religious road and get on the relationship road. You got to meet God. The whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. And God loves you. God has a plan for your life, but you've got to meet him. You meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus made a way for you to be in relationship with the creator of the universe. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. It's about a joyful walk in the Lord. You've got to meet my Father. Go to meetmyfather.org.
meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is John and Pat.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. You know, I was thinking about...
The Oh My Goodness show, right?
Yeah, the Oh My Goodness show. And
OMG.
And smooth tunes there from our producer.
No doubt.
This guy's got skills to pay the bills.
That's right.
He's got the bronze look here.
I'm waiting for Teddy Pendergrass or somebody to come
in
there.
Luther, where's Luther, man?
We can appreciate that, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's good. You know, I was just thinking about the blessing of the Lord and how God blesses us and adds no trouble to it. You know what I'm saying? Because some people get blessings. I don't know where them blessings come from.
All right. What from the Lord?
Yeah. All kinds of troubles and all kinds of stuff. In fact, Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessings of the Lord bring wealth, and he adds no trouble to it. And what makes me think about that, you know, I was on a journey, getting on down here, and 5 years ago, and you'll remember this, Pat, mm-hmm. 5 years ago, the Lord led me to buy a vehicle. Okay, the Lord let me buy a vehicle. And it was time in our life that, you know, we didn't want to get into a car payment or nothing like that. And since then, I've had car payments, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. since that time. But at that particular time, we just wanted to just buy something cash. And I wanted to spend about, I think it was $3,000 or something like that, you know, and then just a second vehicle.
Pocket change for John.
Walking around change.
That's Pat's bling bling money. But anyway.
That's Chris's.
I'm sorry. Chris is
the bling bling.
Chris is the bling bling.
Pat just buys Sink's paraphernalia. Oh, they have toothpicks with
not
like a logo on it?
I just buy tools.
Yeah, tools. Yeah. Yeah, that's his generator.
Nothing I can use.
Yeah. Well, so I'm spending all this time, and me and Pat, actually you and I were both looking for a vehicle that time. And
was that the same time?
Yeah, same exact time.
Oh, wow.
So I'm scouring.
Which is paid off, by the way.
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. God is good.
God is very good. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. You want to pay mine off now?
No. I got another one.
Oh. Okay.
You had to move a new, bigger, longer
that
limousine.
That limousine. Have you seen it? Yeah. It's on the torch. It's on the torch. Yeah. If you haven't
seen
that
one big
Pat's
enough
limo.
For his trainer.
Oh, yeah.
For his trainer to fit in there.
he's bulking up. Protein.
Had to make room for my tools.
Oh.
Is that what he calls his bicep?
Wow.
You got names for them now?
You got names? Well, he removed guns. He wanted a more subtle approach. Calls them tools now. Yeah. You know. He thought guns was over the top. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I got pistols.
water gun pistols.
Water gun pistols.
Cap guns.
Ting, ting, ting. Ding, ting. What were you talking about?
Yes, this car. So I'm searching, and I just couldn't find a thing. And I'm, you know, car lots, you know, newspapers, driving everywhere, and just could not find a thing. So one weekend, my wife and I were getting away for our anniversary out beach for a weekend and just relaxing. And I was abiding and spending time with the Lord. And the Lord just revealed to me, spoke to me, that I wasn't trusting him. I was not trusting him, and this is really, you know, just opened my eyes. He basically said, you know, you didn't have that much money to buy a car, so you know you couldn't put the trust in the finances, mm-hmm. but instead you're putting the trust in yourself and your ability to go find that car. And he says, you just need to trust me. Mm. And man, I just repented that morning. I said, Lord, you know, you're so right. You know, I went out there and tried to do my own thing and trying to get this car and, you know, praying for you to bless my efforts when I just should have said, Lord, you know, just, you know, open the door for me, you know, mm-hmm. and I'll believe that, you know, you can do this for me. I'm going to trust you to do this. Well, it was about a week after that. I'm back at home, and it's about 9 o'clock at night. Someone who knew that I was looking for a vehicle called me up and said, listen, there is a vehicle up here. It's 9 o'clock at night now. I'm shutting mm-hmm. down. You got to come and get this car, man. This is your car. You got to come and get this. And I'm thinking, man. Dude, it's 9 o'clock at night. I have repented with the Lord a little while ago. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm not trying to push nothing here. Okay, if it's for me, I'll look at it tomorrow. So I just, you know, we get off the phone. Half hour later, he's ringing my phone. You better come get this car, man. This is your car. It is an excellent price. This thing's not going to be here in the morning.
Right.
And he was just so persistent. I said, Lord, I better go check this car out. You know what I'm saying? So I got dressed, went down there, and sure enough, man, it was this Honda Accord. It was like dirt cheap. I think it was $2,200.
Oh, wow.
It was perfect. Absolutely perfect. So, man of faith here, I asked the guy, so why are you selling this thing so cheap? You know, what are you doing? And he says, man, I have two cars. I really need to pay off this other car. We don't need two. We only need one. And I've really got it. I'm in a bind. I just got to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, brother, stick your hand out.
There you go.
Let me count this out for you, you know, and paid it. And
so when you stopped.
Yeah.
God started.
Yeah.
When you stopped moving
blowing
in works.
Your phone up.
Yeah. He started moving in faith and trusting God.
Isn't that something?
Isn't it? He showed himself mighty, didn't he?
Huge. Huge.
So much pressure. Everybody, you know, so many people look and they go, can you tell me what steps did you take for this to come to pass?
Right.
What's like?
What was the formula?
I just quit taking steps and just started believing. And then when he told me to take two steps, I took two steps. When he told me to stop, I stopped. Walking in obedience, right?
Walking in obedience.
Wow.
Go figure.
We wouldn't call that radical. We would just call that following Jesus.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? just following the
that
Lord.
That comes from radical Christianity.
Yeah.
The cause of that fruitfulness comes from radical Christianity.
Actually, follow the Bible.
They follow the Bible.
Yeah.
Ooh. Watch out. You might be blessed. Radical Christianity.
Yeah.
coming some town near you.
So if that wasn't enough, I mean, that was just thank you, Jesus.
Send that to all your vehicles.
Yeah. Well, and I wanted a vehicle like that. Actually, mm-hmm. I actually went to a car lot. And I couldn't afford the one that had the car lot, but I wanted a car like that.
Mm-hmm.
Gave me the car that I wanted. And little did I know that 5 months later or 6 months later, I'd be driving that same vehicle 1,200 miles to New Jersey. I had no idea God had a relocation package for me. And I was driving that thing 1,200 miles.
Don't tell me God can't move at Starbucks.
Oh,
ooh.
Don't. That's right.
He moves, doesn't he?
He moves.
We've had a lot of God encounters at Starbucks.
The glory. We'll tell you where the bench.
That's right.
So, not only did it make it up there, guys, but I drove this vehicle all through Jersey City. Now, you can understand, that was a 40-minute commute dodging potholes and lanes. And, I mean, there's potholes big enough that the whole car could fit in it.
There's
on bridges. Dude, I mean, and then when it rains and it snows, you can't see that there's a pothole there. You only can feel when it goes.
That takes out the bottom of your car.
Exactly. Which I have broken axles before.
Oh, wow.
Okay? I'm serious. This is serious. Not in this car. Not in this car.
Right.
But in another car. This car has been to Manhattan. This car has been in the Bronx. Okay? I mean, this car has been all over New Jersey. And it's never given me not one problem.
Wow.
I'm talking about the blessing
car.
Of the Lord.
Mm.
Adds no trouble to it. When God's in it, he's just going to bless you. You just got to follow God. You got to listen to the Lord and be obedient, and just he's going to do it for you. And I'm sure glad that I stopped, right? And then I drove here recently. I brought this car down to the Emerald Coast, another 1,200, the same car that I bought 5 years ago that now has over 199,000 miles, still clean, and rides like a dream. I mean, ride so smooth. Came 1,200 miles down, and get this, my son and I, as we're sitting in the cab of this truck, counted 13 vehicles stranded on the side of the road on our journey.
Broke down.
Your heart just goes out, and you see folks out there on the side of the road, and we just, Lord, just bless them.
Especially
God,
on the interstate.
Send them.
That's
oh,
terrible.
Lord, send
Been
somebody.
There, done that.
I mean, I'm talking about remote places, man. I mean, if I wasn't driving a 26-foot truck, and you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you just want to pull over and say, what can I do for you? You know, but 13, all new vehicles at that, you know, and it's like, Jesus, you are so, so amazing. You are so, so good. You know, maybe you have big plans right now, you know, and you're just realizing that I'm not even trusting God in this. I haven't even invited the Lord. I'm up and moving and doing things and planning and just carrying on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm asking God to bless what I'm doing instead of just following the blessing of the Lord. You know what I mean? Sometimes we get it twisted like that, where we want God to bless what we're doing instead of, you know, God's blessing what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, He's not stamping his approval on everything, right?
Right.
And let me tell you, you can trust him. Maybe it's your job. You know, maybe it's your finances today.
Right.
And you're trying to do it all and save and pinch and this and that. And
that's where he's taking us. He's taking us where you have to trust him anyway. But
you
might as well start now. Do it because you're on this side. You're not going to fall into some gulag somewhere.
That's right.
You know, some camp or train.
That's right. That's right. Start trusting him. Right. You know, maybe you're working on the ability to make a deal or putting your trust in other people. That's amazing. I've seen that so many times. People just put all their trust in a person. And it's like, why don't you put your trust in Jesus?
Right.
You
know,
put trust in God.
His love always trusts. And he can be trusted. The Lord can be trusted.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
Steve, oh my goodness. How many times you're trying to explain Vine Fellowship Network? And like, really, how do you explain this awesome revelation? Well, so many people are talking to me and they want to know more because they're so attracted to being the church instead of going to the church. Well, that's why we have Vine Seminars. Vine Seminars is an awesome opportunity how you can begin to start seeing this progressive revelation that has just been shared by God, how it's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be, but how it truly, truly is all about family and really fulfilling the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. I want to encourage you, get a chance and find out more at vineseminars.org.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Of course, joining me is John and Pat. I don't know if you heard about it. You heard about the Duck Dynasty interview on CBN. It is so awesome. You know, Duck Dynasty is like winning the ratings, and it's just normal. This is what people are hungry for. Do real people love Jesus?
That's right.
Are they not bound by religion? Are they honest in regards to saying, listen, outside of God, I'm a basket case. I'm a mess. That's what we try to say. But I think Duck Dynasty crew does it really good. Listen to this interview. It's awesome.
If you've seen the hit reality show Duck Dynasty, then you know what millions already do.
I'm fixing to go crazy redneck up in here.
While times are good now for the Robertson clan, life wasn't always...
happy, 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 happy.
Phil and Miss Kay married young. Life was tough in those early days, not just because they were poor.
He wasn't just away from the Lord, he was just horribly away, and so he did a bunch of horrible things that were just terrible, and, you know, for my mom to stick with him through all that was incredible.
When Duck Dynasty first aired in 2012, producers wanted to tone down the family's faith.
Miss Kay, listen to this. I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 7 about marriage.
But that's exactly what the audience wanted. The season 3 finale broke an A&E channel record with 9.6 million viewers.
Please welcome to the 700 Club the patriarch and the matriarch of the Duck Dynasty clan, Phil and Kay Robertson. It's great to have you both with us.
Nice to be here.
So are you kin to our Robertsons?
They have. When I came up here, I was wondered about that. And they said, look, we all came from Scotland. So it's all the kin folks gathering up here today.
Yes.
The Robertsons have come back together up here in Virginia.
Many of the Robertsons like to duck hunt. So I have with me, Phil, a duck caller. Now, I have no clue. I am clueless how to use this. What do I do?
Well,
you turn it to the other
this
end
way.
To start.
This way. Well, see, that's my problem. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm taking
see,
this end.
I'm looking at that particular model. Now look.
Oh, he had to show you all of his special duck
yeah. calls. See, I'm learning as I go further north. I'm up in old Virginia now, but I'm learning that where we're from, women pick ducks, you know. Miss Case picked a lot of her ducks. But now you're interested in duck calling.
Pioneer woman.
You're sort of breaking out here today.
I am.
Now look, we have all these different kinds of ducks. This is about like six different species of duck. And basically what all this comes down to is the control of your tongue.
Oh, dear.
Your tongue.
Okay.
So watch. What you're saying, this is the way you hold one. Hold it between your thumb and index finger like that. And so tongue control. Now look, if you say, oh, 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 your tongue stays on the bottom. It doesn't come up.
Uh-huh.
Oh, oh, oh. Just say, oh. Your tongue didn't move.
It's behind my teeth.
But if you say 10, 10, 10.
10, 10.
You notice your tongue comes up
mm-hmm.
and actually hits the roof of your mouth. So with a duck call, you're basically going 10, 10, 10. 10, 10,
well,
10.
Maybe. Let's see. Did
Try
you
that.
Did you put your lips right up like?
That's put okay. it. Go ahead and wear.
Okay, so that's the
old
Wisconsin
Virginia
version,
has a long
right?
way to go.
See, I think when a Southerner says 10, 10, 10, it's different than when a Northerner says 10,
well,
10, 10.
So look, now see, that's your like your a hen duck is calling on another one. But if they're like they're eating, they'll go. Now, that's the mallard. Now, listen to this. Here's three ducks. Here's a teal. Listen, that's all they do.
Really?
You could probably do that.
And this is a ball pate or a widgeon. Listen. And look, this is a pintail.
That's cool. I love that.
So that's three ducks right there. Here's the old green head, the old mallard drake. Now, the hen, this is the hen. And the mallard drake is like this.
Sounds like a frog.
Yeah. That's all the men need to say.
And this is a wood duck. That's a wood duck.
I had no idea they were so different.
Oh.
How many do you have? How many have you designed altogether?
Through the years, this is like 35 or 40 years of work.
Wow.
It's like playing piano by ear. What'd you say?
Jason has even come up with new ones since
really
Phil kind of semi-retired from building the duck calls. So these are Phil's collection, and Jason has his own collection.
That is amazing.
And here's a
right?
little, and here's a little the female teal. The male is like, but the female is like, it's a little quick.
Isn't that
you're
pretty?
Right. You're right, Kay.
All right, I want you to hit your
noise.
Duck call one more lick. Let me hear your duck call one more time, okay. Because that was so thrilling to hear you learn how here.
Okay. Well,
that's kind of like
them.
Kind of like a duck caught in a trap.
What can I? I'll work on it, Phil, for our next get together. So when you started designing these, and when they came to you and said we want to do a show about your family, did you have any idea it would become the top-rated reality show on cable?
I said, will there be any hunting in it? And they said, oh no, Mr. Robson, you know we wouldn't.
Really?
We wouldn't want to do that. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I figured. So I'm thinking, you know, L.A., Los Angeles coming in here, going to film a bunch of rednecks.
Tell them how positive you were.
Oh, look, I said, let me get this right. A bunch of rednecks hunting ducks. I said, but you don't want to see any of them actually get shot. I said, do y'all really think this will work? And then they informed me. They said, well, Ozzy Osbourne made it. And I'm like, you know, there's hope for us all.
So, and then the boys were so glad to come back and say, Dad, were you right?
Yes, wow.
I didn't think
well,
it would work,
knew?
But...
But tell them the rest of what you said. You said it would only work if...
What I said was, they said, Dad, what do you think? And I said, this won't work. However, I said, if God is behind it,
yeah,
it'll go all the way to the top. So I did have a little disclaimer. I said, now, if he's behind this... I said, no telling where to go.
So
So I think that's what it's all about.
I think that's what it's all about, too. Yeah. What is it, do you think, that draws people to your family and to the values that you share?
Can I talk for you?
Sure.
That was so nice of you.
She's like Sarah Abraham. She is the epitome of Sarah. She waits on my hand.
Like,
and she is a great woman.
But that's okay. I think it's what they tell me, because we go all over the country now. And they always say, y'all are so real.
Yeah.
You are. We can relate to y'all. You seem so sincere, and you really are. And they'll just, it's like somebody they can identify with. Mm-hmm. That's what they tell me.
And you have been very honest on air. You're certainly very honest in your book, Happy, Happy, Happy. You talk about, I mean, it hasn't always been sunshine and roses.
That's correct.
You guys have been married 50 years?
Almost
50 years?
Yeah. And it was actually about 10 years that were really, really, really tough.
Tough
times.
Very tough. How did that turn around for you?
Well, I was in a beer joint, and a preacher came in with a Bible, and I'm like, and my little sister is up in the front handing out tracts, you know,
that
religious
was really
tracts.
True.
And they started kind of, some of the old guys, you know, drinking beer, you know, and they started romping on her a little bit. So I walked her to the front, and I said, listen, my little sister is one of these holy roller types, and she's passing out tracts. Leave her alone, or I'll break your legs.
And he really meant it.
I said, just let her,
at that time.
Just let her do her thing, you know. So the first initial meeting, I pretty well ran the guy out of there. My sister told me later, she said when the preacher got outside, he looked around at her and he said, I don't think he's ready yet. But that's what started it. And then, you know, my life was spiraling out of control in a hurry. You have to remember, we're talking the 60s here, sex, drugs, rock and roll, just let her rip. So I finally came to my senses. Miss Kay was after me. She said, look, just sit down and listen. Mm-hmm.
Well,
just listen.
He started a little early. What he did was, he didn't tell you this part, because it is embarrassing. He put us out of the house, me and the three boys I had at the time, because he said we were too goody-goody and holy roller and a few other things.
Because the Lord had started to work in your life at that point.
Oh, I had found the Lord by that time. It was about a year ahead of him.
She was converted first.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and that's a long story. We don't have time for it, but
Kay, when that happened, when Phil said, you guys need to get out, you're too goody-goody, did you see God's hand at work at that point, or did you feel desperate?
The deal.
What were you feeling?
If anybody reads about it or hears my story, they would know that what kept me there, I think, for so long was the fact that I was raised more by my grandmother than my parents. And her words were always to me about, well, of course, she always talked about one man, one wife, or one life, which she would just teach me things like that real while we were shelling peas or shucking corn or something like that, or cooking, rolling dough. And then she said, and you'll have to fight for your marriage. Well, I just thought, that's ridiculous, because number one, when I get married, it's going to be, we're going to live happily ever after.
We all think that, don't we?
Like the book says, all the books you read, they say that. And so it was like I finally found out what she was talking about. But she said, your marriage, no matter what you think or what people tell you, it's worth fighting for. Mm-hmm. And so, I wanted to look in the sky and tell my grandmother at that point, okay, he kicked me out. I didn't leave.
Can I be done now?
Yeah. And with the separation time, it was really hard. But because I was a Christian then, and where I went is where we worship now. And I had so many people praying for him. And his sister, who had come to the beer joint and all that, she had prayed her and her mother for 3 years prior to that for his salvation.
He didn't really have a chance there, my friend.
So when he came that day to my work, and he hates for me to tell this, but it was the truth. He just came there, and I thought, well, he's come up here, and he's drunk and passed out on the steering wheel because his head, but it wasn't. When he raised his head up and I opened the door, I didn't know if he was going to shoot me or, you know, what would happen. But he looked up, and he had big tears in his eyes, and he said, I can't eat, I can't sleep, I want my family back.
Yeah.
And, you know, then I thought, oh, he's just like I want him. Yeah. But I knew, I said, he said, I'm never going to drink again. And I said, you can't do it by yourself.
Yeah.
And I found myself being stronger because God was telling me, you got to stand up here.
You know, as I read your book, Phil, I was thinking the person that you were before you knew Christ and the person that Ms. Kay is describing is so different than you are today. I don't even know you well, but just watching you on your program, reading your book, you're a gentle man.
It's literally what Jesus said, from darkness to light.
Yes.
By the way, now Miss Kay, I said to Miss Kay now, when you're not gonna run out on me one of these days, are you? And she said, Phil, she said, listen to my voice. She said, I stayed with you when you were mean and we were poor. She said, now you're kind and we're rich. Number one, rich is better, and I'm not going anywhere.
He loves to tell that. He loves to tell that story.
She said, well, I used to have to pay all the bills, you know.
Yeah, I was the one that had to worry about all that stuff, you know.
But let me ask you this, because you have been in a place of need. God has blessed you mightily as you've given him glory over the years. But a lot of people who come to success really get off the beaten path. I mean, their lives change. They become managed and ruled by other people who don't share their values. How do you stay real in the middle of that?
Look, when you get right down to it, we're talking about the rarest of commodities when you come to Jesus. Peace of mind, all your sins removed. None of your future ones counted against you if you just trust God and try. And at the end, the resurrection of the dead. When you really look at it, you say, can fame or money top the resurrection of the bodies from the earth? I'm like, I don't think so. So it's the old, look at what's out there, our living hope, Jesus. And you say, you know what? Listen, I ran without Jesus for the first 28 years. And I've run with Jesus for the last 38. Trust me, the last 38 have been far better. Mm-hmm. Our first year down on the river, when I went down there, I had a clear head. When I was converted, I said, okay, here we go. So I said, let's see, I could teach school. Most people don't know this, but I earned a master's degree in Louisiana Tech in education. So I could have taught school, but I said, Miss Kay, find a place on the river.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm going to fish nets in the river, and I can beat teaching school for his money just fishing on the river. And I said, and while I'm doing that, I said, you see this duck call? I said, there's not but one of them on this earth. I said, I'm going to patent this thing, and we'll go in the duck call business. Well, the first year in the duck call business, our gross sales was $8,000.
And tell my words.
I said, Miss Kay, we are rolling.
And I said, we're going to starve to death.
But she held the line and stayed the course, and it started out the next year was 13.5, and then it was like 22, the sales, and then it was like 37. And look, today, millions.
No worries.
Millions.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Doing something you love.
It was either a tremendous stroke of luck, or the Almighty said, I'll fill your barns up.
Yeah.
Tamped down and running over, so.
But here's what I think that tries to keep us on track is the fact that I've said all along, we never forget where we came from.
Amen.
And if something happened tomorrow with devastation, we went back to, you know, the shaggy trailer that we lived in one time,
it wouldn't matter.
We would just
be fine.
Yeah. And another thing we do, and this is really neat, my older son, Alan, who hasn't come to the show but will this year, we do a thing with him. It was kind of our, maybe his and probably his idea first. And then everybody said it was good that we would have meetings ever so often to bring our focus and make sure it's back where we started.
Wow.
Back exactly where we started. And so that's been wonderful to do that. And, you know, that's what we really have. But I think for the sons, they know, but I worry more for the grandchildren.
Yeah.
Because we have teens now that are even asked to go out and speak like we do, that are on the road, and that's just, you know.
Plus, they're now rich kids.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
you know.
You got to get him out in the boat, Phil.
I'm telling you. I'm looking at him. I'm thinking, oh, no, they're acting like yuppies.
Hey. Well, we all love it. We love especially the time that your family gathers together at the end of each show and bows and prays. It's really a precious reminder of how families are raised in our country and the values that most of us grew up with.
You know, they were taking out in the show when I would pray in the name of Jesus, amen, they were taking in the name of Jesus. They cut that out. In Jesus' name, they cut that out. So I asked them why. And the production crew, and they said, well, we wouldn't want to offend anybody else or anything. You know, I said, well, I understand. I said, but you know, it is, you would agree, 2013 A.D., Anno Domini, year of our Lord. I said, so you're counting time by Jesus, and I'm counting, our calendars are based on him. I said, you know, of all the individuals who ever walked on planet Earth, if we count time, document time by just one of them, Jesus, I said, I don't think it would hurt to throw his name in. So look, they said, well, you know, we'll think about that. Well, that supper scene was right after that. So I put the food down in the middle of the table, and all the cameras are on me. So I sat down. They said, Mr. Robinson, you ready to offer the prayer? So you cameras are rolling now, and action. And I bowed my head, and I said, Father, thank you for the good food that you blessed us with. Thank you for our children. Thank you, Father, for loving us and saving us. And Father, I do pray that you will give these people that are filming us time to repent before you burn them for not using your name in a prayer.
He did.
But I looked up. I looked up, and their eyes were like, I said, hey, put that on TV.
I'm here to verify that was all true.
You do have a way of putting it all right there, you know?
They said, Ms. Robinson, would you pray again and maybe tone it down a little bit?
I said, I thought of it.
That's right.
That really happened.
The book is just so much fun because we love you and your family so much, and it's given us a new insight into who God is in your life and the journey he's had you on. It's been a fascinating journey. You've only seen a little bit of it if you've watched the show. The book is called Happy, 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 My Life and Legacy as the Duck Commander. It's available wherever books are sold, and also we want to remind you to watch Duck Dynasty. That's on A&E. Just check your local listings for dates and times. Want to say also that your son, Alan, you said, is going to be joining you in the new season?
This is so cool. You're listening to the Duck Dynasty crew. An awesome thing. Catch the rest of it on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com, click on the Torch, and look for Duck Dynasty.